when I was called to interview at Tampa, I told Lauren, we're not going to get this job. I don't know anybody there. I have no connections. And so when I got the job, I said, you know what? We want to win a Super Bowl, and I believe we will. I want to do it the right way. I want to do it so that our young men are people that the community is going to be proud of. I want to do it in such a way that we're doing the right things with our families, and it's going to be a win-win situation. I believe it can be done, and I believe it can be done here. I came down feeling like, hey, this is where God wants us. We're going to win. Everything's going to be great because this is God's plan. It's not my plan. I didn't know at the time when I got fired what I was supposed to do. Was I supposed to look for something in Tampa outside of football, or was I supposed to look for another job, another city? And Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, called me and he said, we're making a change at head coach with the Indianapolis Colts, and you're the guy that I want to be our coach. I believe in all the things that you believe in. We want to do things the right way. We want to win, but win with the right kind of people, and you're the guy to lead us. And that was a message that I really needed to hear at that point.
Well, good morning, Calvary Chapel Eastside. Today is the big day, right? I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. For those of you who, the words were a little small if you couldn't read it, that was Tony Dungy. He used to be the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And eventually he led the Indianapolis Colts to a Super Bowl victory 9 years ago today on February 7th, 2007. Tony is a great man of God. And we're going to see more from Tony later. But what I want to talk about is a few things. Every good sermon has 3 points and a summary, right? We're going to try to hit that today. I don't know if I will, but we'll try. So the first thing I want to talk about is decisions. Tony talked about he was let go by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tony was a successful coach. The text was really small up there, but it said he took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the playoffs 4 out of 6 years, and then they let him go because he failed to reach the Super Bowl. He was not unsuccessful. He was a successful man in the NFL. But God had a better plan for him. God had something better for him down the road. So Tony had a decision to make, as he said. Should I stay in Tampa and look for something outside of football? Or does God have something better for me? An opportunity opened up for him. Today we're going to talk about a man who was called to lead the nation of Israel. Opportunity opened up for him. Courage, faith, things of that nature. We're going to be in the book of Joshua today. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles on each side of the sanctuary. Feel free to grab one. I think Joshua starts on page 169. Just taking a stab there. So as you turn to the book of Joshua, I just want to talk really briefly about decisions as we go into the message. Every day, you are faced with decisions. Every person in here is faced with decisions. Some of them are mindless. We don't think about them, but we still make decisions, right? I woke up this morning and I decided to take a shower and get dressed, and you guys are probably thankful for that. Other things take a little more thought. I get in the shower, and rather than using my wife's conditioner, I actually use soap. I had to think about that one sometimes, because they're all right there in a big jumble mess, and, you know. Even still, though, I want to think about how decisions affect us on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis. Some decisions impact us for our whole life. Doug talked about, when we were doing communion this morning, he talked about a decision that could affect your whole life. If you don't know what he was talking about, we'll get to that later on. But he was talking about accepting Jesus as your Lord. That decision will change your life forever. It'll take you from going one direction, flip you a 180, and head out down an entirely different path most of the time, and you have no clue what's going to happen. The book of Joshua outlines several decades over the course of several chapters where Joshua led the nation of Israel from the edge of the promised land where Moses had taken them up to, into the promised land through many battles, many victories, dividing up the land and eventually him giving up command and dying. Well, we're going to be in the very first chapter on the very first page, so you don't have to go very far today. If you don't know anything about Joshua or the story of Joshua, where he came from, he was Moses' right-hand man. He was a man of great courage, a man of great faith. He displayed that courage when he was one of the 12 spies that was sent into the promised land to spy on all the nations that were in there and come back and report to Moses and the nation about how they were to go about taking that land. Him and his buddy Caleb came back with a great report. They're like, we can do this. God's with us, so who can be against us, right? 10 other spies, they weren't as courageous. They weren't as, their faith wasn't as strong as Joshua and Caleb. They came back and they said, we're grasshoppers in the eyes of these men. They have huge walls. They're huge men. They're giants. They're going to crush us. But Joshua and Caleb stood firm in their faith and showed their courage through that all. Eventually, the courage of those two men would lead to victory in the promised land, victories over great nations like Jericho, who had walls as high as you could imagine, right? Everyone, most people probably know the story of Jericho, right? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. I won't sing for you. I don't have a great voice. What a great victory. But it all came from courage that was given to him by God and the faith he had in his God, courage that had been built up in him. So what is courage? Courage is the ability to do something that's frightening, right? Courage is something that, personally, I don't believe is inherently in every person from birth. Most of the time we have to build up courage, right? We talk about building up your courage to do something, building up the nerve to do something. But courage is something I believe that could be mentored. You can learn, you can build it up as you go. On the other hand, some people have courage, it seems like they were born with it. From day one, they're always doing dumb stuff. Jumping off the bridges into the creek, right? Or swinging from the tree and letting go and jumping off, you know, or whatever. It seems like they were born with courage. Adam Brown was a Navy SEAL. He was on the most elite team in the Navy SEALs, SEAL Team 6. His whole life, he had a nickname, Animal. But he was always a little bit smaller than everybody, so he always had to be a little bit crazy. But he was courageous. He was the guy that jumped off the bridge into the creek. He was the guy that, when he got into the military, he was going headfirst in. He wasn't stopping until he made it into the Navy SEALs. Adam Brown eventually died courageously, saving his team in an attack in Afghanistan. Men like that seem to be born with courage. I'm not sure if Joshua was born with that courage or if he learned it growing up, but Joshua was a leader of a nation, and he was also a great military leader. Joshua had matured from his youth in the presence of a man chosen by God, Moses. He had seen the things Moses was able to do, through his faith in God, he had seen Moses' willingness to lead. But most of all, I think what he saw was that courage is directly in line with God's will. And if you're in line with God, he'll give you that courage as long as you have faith in him. So let's look at the text. Joshua 1 starts out like this. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore before their forefathers and give them.'" Be strong and courageous. You're about to lead a nation into a place they've never seen before. From a military standpoint, I mean, yeah, they had some spies and they had checked things out. But typically, you know what you're getting into before you dive headfirst in there, right? Joshua's about to lead a nation against many nations in order to take over land that God had promised Abram, promised all their forefathers before, you know, all the way up through Moses. It was finally time. Decades, centuries of promises that had yet to be fulfilled were about to become fulfilled, and he was about to lead them through. So my question is, have you ever been thrust into a position like this? Have you ever been thrust into a position you were a little uncertain of? Maybe at work you inherited a project, you're told to move forward, and you had no clue how to go forward, right? Maybe you lost a job, now you gotta find something else. Maybe you were faced with an unplanned pregnancy. It happens a lot. And it's not just for the woman, it's for the man too, right? Facing circumstances in life takes courage. Those who are lacking in courage or have little courage typically allow a situation to dictate their outcome. But those who have courage and those who show courage move forward. And that's what Joshua was about to do. Joshua had been Moses' aide for many, many years. He knew eventually the nation would enter the promised land, and he knew Moses wasn't going to be the one leading them through, because Moses had some issues, some anger issues. If we go back and you look in the books prior to this, and God had told him that he wasn't going to enter the promised land. He knew he was going to face adversity. Deuteronomy 31:7 gives us a brief account of what went on between mentor and mentee just before Joshua was to take over. Deuteronomy 31:7, it says, "Then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance.'" What I find interesting about this, if you flip three more chapters over, we learn a little bit more about Moses and his condition. At that time, Moses was 120 years old. But what it says is he was no more worse for wear. In chapter 34, verse 7, it actually says, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak and his strength was not gone. Moses was humanly capable of leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. However, his faith and his spiritual nature had faltered a little bit at one point, and God said, I'm sorry, you can't lead my people. You're going to have to hand the reins over. How humbling it must have been for the man who had led Israel for so long, so many years, decades, had brought them out of Egypt, led them out of Egypt, listened to them complain in the desert for decades. How humbling it must have been to know that he was going to get to look at it. God gave him a glimpse. He got to look out into the promised land and see the land flowing with milk and honey, but he was never going to step foot. So he gave his mentee, Joshua, his aide, gave him some great wisdom. He told him, be strong and be courageous. Has God ever asked you or told you that it was time? Has God ever told you it was time to change direction? Change your lifestyle. Move. Move on. God's telling each and every one of you to be courageous when he talks to you. Circumstances aren't always ideal in our minds when he tells us to move or move on or to change. When I was in the Army, my wife used to have this saying, and she still says it occasionally, but I would be gone. I spent 15 months in Baghdad, and she had a family to take care of, and I spent 12 months on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan, and she had a family to take care of. But she always had this saying that she would always say, and she would say it to fellow Army wives. It was, you got to get up, and you got to put your big girl panties on. Okay? You can't just let your situation dictate your outcome. You got to be courageous in those situations. You got to put your faith in God that he's going to pull you through what he has, the circumstances in which he has put you in. God wants you to be courageous. So the second point is faith. We talked about courage, now I want to talk a little bit about faith. So what is faith? Faith is complete trust and confidence in someone or something, right? Churchianese, we all know Hebrews 11, chapter 1, or chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, right? Some of you have confidence and hope that I'm going to be done early enough for you to go to your Super Bowl party. That's called faith. Some of you have no clue because you're like, why is the sound guy standing up on the pulpit? What's he doing up there? I have no clue what he's got up his sleeve, right? Some of you may lack faith today in God and what he can do for you and what he can do in your situation. You hope he'll see you through your situation, but maybe you're not quite sure. You lack a little bit in faith. And I think that's because sometimes our faith falters a little bit when our relationship with God does. If our relationship with God is slipping, our faith that he'll bring us through certain circumstances sometimes seems bleak. I tell you what, God will bring you through that situation if you just put your faith in him. I've seen it over and over again in my life. I've seen it over and over again in other people's lives. It may not always be the outcome that you hope for, but I can tell you this. When you put your faith in God to bring you through a certain situation, and you put your faith in it totally, you'll have just a peace in your soul. My wife tells me stories from time to time. We both have war stories. It's kind of funny. She tells me stories she had, thoughts she had, and then years down the road, I tell her the stories I had. I never told her a story right then and there. But one story she shares sometimes is a story about when I deployed to Afghanistan. And I got to see some interesting things in Afghanistan. But she says, one day, God just told her, everything's going to be okay. God didn't guarantee that I was going to come back from that deployment alive, well, anything like that. But God did assure her. And let me tell you something, my wife is a woman of faith. God did assure her that everything was going to be okay, even if I wasn't to come back. And sometimes that little voice in your head creeps in. Yeah, but what if? What if he doesn't come back? Are you sure things are going to be okay? Are you sure? I tell you, that's the devil. That's the enemy. Because if God has given you a promise and God is faithful to keep that promise, you're going to be okay. Joshua had strong faith. So let's go back to the text real quick. Left off at verse 7. Picks right back up with those two words. God is speaking to Joshua and he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. He continues on in verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper. You will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. This topic of being courageous has stuck with me since about the beginning of the year. And I spent some time reading these words over and over and over again. And, you know, Moses said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then God initially says, be strong and courageous. You're going to lead these people. Then he comes back and he says, be strong and be very courageous. And what I found very interesting about this little section, these three verses right here, is that God is talking about his word and his law and living for him. Maybe even more so today than thousands of years ago, do you need to be strong and be very courageous as you go out and you live for God. Another thing that I found interesting here, though, God doesn't just give him a free pass. He doesn't say, Joshua, you've been faithful. You've been good. You're going to go in there. It's going to be easy peasy. Lemon squeezy. No worries. Instead, he points out to him that what he's about to embark on and what he's about to lead the nation of Israel through is going to take discipline. He says, be careful to obey. Do not turn. That takes discipline. A soldier needs discipline. So God warned him ahead of time. Be careful to obey what I'm about to tell you to do. Do not turn from it. The other thing soldiers need is to be faithful to practice their craft. And that doesn't just mean at that time bows and arrows and spears and everything like that. Joshua's craft also included meditating on the word. And that's what you need to do. You need to take some time daily and meditate on what God has for you that day. It's a discipline. It takes practice. It's not easy. Being a soldier, I can tell you from experience, spent 14 years as a soldier, that it's not always second nature. It takes practice. You got to go out there and do the things you got to do what you got to do when the time calls for it. Everyone out here is a soldier. You're just in a different type of army, and you're fighting against a different type of enemy. Every single one of you has to practice. You got to go to the range, and what I mean by that is you got to go, and you got to take some time, and you got to spend some time in the Word. I love verse 9, where he reassures Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. My wife is a saint. She's getting a lot of analogies today. Or whatever. But she is a saint. I mean, God has taken us in about 20 different directions over the course of less than 10 years. We came here to Fort Carson. We weren't even supposed to come here. We were supposed to go to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. But God had a plan. He brought us here. A month after I got here, I was in Iraq. She moved home. She came back. Then the army says, hey, pick up everything, go to North Carolina now. I'm going to send you there for a summer. You're going to spend a summer there, and then you're going to come all the way back. So we went to North Carolina for a summer and came back. Then I spent a year training, spent a year in Afghanistan, came back. And by that point in our lives, our marriage, in my career, we knew at that point that God said it was time to be done, which most people don't walk away from a pension 6 years from a pension. But when God says to do something, it doesn't pay to make him wait. So we knew at that point that we were going to walk away, and God had a better plan for us. But we thought that plan was here at Calvary Chapel Eastside, working with the youth at the time, because that's what we were doing. However, a few months before my time in service was about to expire, God laid it really heavy on our hearts that it's not your time in Colorado. I've got something else for you. So we picked everything up again, moved across the country, and moved to New York. We spent 3 years in New York. Somewhere around that three-year mark, God really started tugging on our hearts again and said, I think it's time to go again. We had no clue where. Long story short, we ended up back here. But in all that time, my wife was faithful to be open to the plan that God had for us. She packed up our house and our life in less than a week and a half, and we drove from New York back to Colorado when we came back. Being faithful to what God has called you to do will never steer you in the wrong direction. Have faith. God's not against you. He's for you. The thing is, you need to take up your faith and you need to work on it. You need to practice it. You need to live it. If you do those three things, God will be with you, no matter where you are. So the third point, we're getting close. I can smell those chicken wings and pizza. So I want to wrap this into together. The first two definitions came straight from Webster. I didn't make up those definitions. But in my mind, I put the two together, and I said, this passage is all about, it's really about courage fueled by faith. And to me, what that means is, courage fueled by faith is the ability to do what you have been called to do, relying with complete trust and confidence in the one that will bring you through it. God will bring you through it if you put your trust in him. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go into the take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives and children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help out your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So we look through these 18 verses, and Joshua starts off by getting a pep talk, pep talk from God. And he's fueled up. He's ready to go. He's ready to go in there and take it all. Joshua has had a renewal in his faith, ready to lead the nation into the next chapter in their history. But like I said, not only does Joshua have courage, Joshua has faith. But that courage and that faith was contagious, and it spread across the whole nation. The same thing can hold true for you. If you take that courage and you take that faith and you have courage fueled by faith, it becomes contagious. So, I guess the question is then, are you ready? Are you ready to take that courage, fueled by faith, into the world, into your homes, into your jobs, to your Super Bowl party this afternoon? Are you ready to take on that challenge? Do you have faith? Do you even know what faith feels like? Some of you may not. Some of you struggle with it. But I want to tell you something straight from the word, from the mouth of God. If you go back to verse 9, God told Joshua, just like he's telling each and every one of you today, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Some of you here may have no clue what I'm talking about, and that's okay, because we're going to get to that in a minute. But wherever you go, God is for you. He's not against you. Circumstances he put you in for a reason. And all he wants you to do is just lean a little bit on him. Give him your faith. Muster up a little courage. Take that courage, let it be fueled by faith, and he'll see you through it. I got one more clip I want to show you really quick.
My favorite passage in the Bible is where Christ says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? And with 31 years in the National Football League, I've seen that a lot. And so to me, that was the thing that I always wanted to tell my players. Don't put this game first. Don't make football everything in your life, how we relate to each other, how we live, what you have in your heart for eternity, how you respond to the Lord. That's the most important thing. This game will take care of itself. We've been through a lot, and our slogan by that time was, it's our time. You know, those disappointments were in the past, but now it's our time, and we got to seize the moment, and we did that. Amazing thing in the locker room, Super Bowls are so different. As soon as you win, the celebration starts. You have a ceremony out on the field. It maybe takes 40 minutes to get everybody back together. Many of our players were just waiting. They said, Coach, we've got to finish this one like we have every other game. We've got to have the team prayer. And we asked that the reporters shut their cameras down and let us pray. And I was so proud of the guys for hanging in there and saying, this is what we want to do. We want to honor the Lord in this victory. And we did that. One photographer didn't honor our wishes. He took a picture of it, but that picture went all over the internet, went all over, and it was really a great tribute to what that team had in mind of putting the Lord first, even at the Super Bowl. Every decision I make in life, I'm going to make it through the lens of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put him out there first, and my own feelings, my own thoughts, my own desires are going to be second. It's that simple. And if we do that, Christ promised that he would come into our lives, he'd be our head coach, and he'd guide us to that victory, that ultimate victory. I'm Tony Dungy, and I am second.
One last thought. One of the synonyms for the word courage is valor. The word valor, to some people, is really, really close to their heart. It's synonymous with things like the Medal of Honor. But it's also mentioned in the Bible. Gideon was a mighty man of valor because he had faith in what God was going to do through him. But before I let you go today, I want to talk to you about the other side of that coin, and that's stolen valor. In 2013, Congress passed a law called the Stolen Valor Act. The law makes it a crime for a person to fraudulently claim having received any of a series of particular military decorations, awards, in order that they may obtain something tangible because of that. I don't tell you this because I think any of you would go out there and commit stolen valor as our Congress defines it. What I want to do today is give you the opportunity not to commit stolen valor from a spiritual aspect. Don't sit here in these seats today and go through the motions and be a Christian and get in your car and drive out there and steal that valor. You see, in here, we're all brothers and sisters. And we're all in it together. But out there in the world, it's something different. So just like Doug talked about when he was doing communion, he gave you all a really quick opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. But what I want to do right now is I want to give you an uninterrupted, not rushed, I want to give you an opportunity not to commit stolen valor spiritually. At the end of Joshua, towards the end of his life, Joshua makes a very bold statement to the nation of Israel. Chapter 24, verses 14 and 15 goes like this. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worshipped beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And then he throws something in there. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, then choose yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'd like everyone to just close their eyes really quick. And this isn't something we usually do here, but I think it's something that needs to happen. It's obviously been on more than one heart this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and you haven't given your life over to him, right here today, you no longer have an excuse. You've heard, you've seen, you have no more excuse. And I just want to offer you an opportunity right now. If you want him to become the Lord of your life, just let it be known. You can either raise your hand, no one's looking. You can come up front, pray with one of the elders, you can pray with me. Any one of us. No one's going to judge you. As a matter of fact, it says in the Bible that the angels rejoice at just one person turning their life over to the Lord. So if there's anybody here, anybody's heart that God's just tugging at, those aren't feelings inside. I can tell you from experience. I grew up in a pastor's house, and I would hear him calling people forward week after week. And I wasn't always the best kid. I have an interesting past, but I was stubborn. But I felt that tug in my heart multiple times. And I'm glad that God kept me around long enough to answer it. But I wanted to give you just a few more minutes. If right now is the day, if you feel that, feel that little wrenching in your chest, it's not because I'm a good speaker. It's God saying, you need to go talk to somebody. You need to give your life. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for opportunities that you have given us. thank you for the lives you've taken us through. Lord, I just want to ask that you give each and every person that's here this morning courage. Pray that you would give them faith. And then I pray that they would take that courage, fuel it by faith, through practice, through discipline, through a relationship with you. Father, just so grateful for everything that you've done in my life, in my family's life. And I just pray that you would bless all these people. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.